You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Today, I have two very special guests, Mahala Gale and Mona Delfino. Mahala is an astrologer, writer, lecturer, minister, one of the founders of the Asclepius Light Center, the editor of the Asclepius Light Center newsletter, and writer-editor of the Planet Alert articles. Mona Delfino is a medical intuitive vibrational healer and massage therapist. She just completed a wonderful new book called The Sacred Language of the Human Body, and it's about consciousness revealed from memory to magnificence. So let's welcome my two friends to the show now. Hi, Mahala and Mona. How are you?
Oh, fine. Hello, Lance. Hello.
Hi,
it's
Mona,
good to be here with all three Virgos.
Yeah, three Virgos, right. I wanted to get that in there, and I forgot all about it. Well, there's so much going on right now. Today is the 25th. We're doing this pre-record, which will air on the 28th, this Saturday. So it'll be interesting to see how events line up with all of these astonishing energies that are occurring. And I thought I would start, throw this out there to begin the show, with an email that Mahala sent me yesterday on the 24th, which said, a wave of light is going to hit the core of the earth tonight, and that will change everything. So maybe we could start with that, Mahala, and then we'll just see where the show takes us.
Okay. Well, a group of 11 of us went up to the sacred site by my house, which is a 40-million-year-old hill, which is older than Mount Rainier, and we did ceremony up there because this was such an important time, and this was on July 24th, mm-hmm. and that was the ending of the dream spell calendar for this year. And then today, or 25th, when we're being recorded, this is a day out of time. And we're also going through a black hole because there's a black hole on 3 degrees Leo, which is where the sun is right now. And so the Mayan calendar is always connected with that. And so what I had put in my last article about the happy Mayan dreamspell new year, mm-hmm. that the glyph for the 24th was a red overtone earth. And this is the access point to your natural alignment with Earth force. It is a point of perfect centeredness in the eternal present from which all alignment and magic manifest. Your center, the Earth center, is the secret of gravity's magnetizing force. From the center point within self, you align with this galactic center. And then Kaban is a symbol of the Earth keeper, the keeper of the garden, the shaman healer, who through reverence for all life heals and sanctifies the earth. As you bring light to yourself, you bring light into matter. Kaban also has a staff that is both connected to the cosmic consciousness of the stars and firmly planted in the earth. Kaban holds the ascension of earth and all humanity. And what I've been given is when this beam came in last night, that it went directly into the core of the earth, just like it says for what the glyph was in effect, you know?
Wow.
And so this is changing everything that there is. And this beam came from two stars that collided in 2008. Mm-hmm. And then they went supernova, you know, when the collision happened. And so then the force from this came together in July of 2009, and then they merged together, and this has been coming in since then as one wave.
Wow.
And so these stars collided way out, you know, like in another galaxy, and so it's taken a long time to get here.
Uh-huh.
And this is going into the center of the earth, so it's going to create a new tone within the center of the earth. And so because of this coming in, I've been wondering if maybe the tone that people have been hearing on the earth, you know, like the trumpets and you know, where so many people say that we hear the sound in earth. I was wondering if that's from the tone of this wave coming in that we heard ahead of time.
Wow. And, well, you know, a lot of people are talking about a galactic superwave, and they have different theories about, you know, when it arrives and how it arrives and all of that. And, of course, we have a shaman healer here, Mona, who can share, you know, maybe, Mona, how have you been experiencing this and your clients in your physical bodies and on the other
Well, there's levels? Absolutely, you know, Mahala and I chat quite a bit, Lance, about the things that are happening. We keep up with the pace, if you will. And right now, people are going through major, major changes. And I think most people know this now, but here's the ticket. What's happening is that we're getting busier. We're learning that we're multitasking. We're starting to be able to do things at the same time. And this is something that we really, you know, in the past, you know, if we got busy, we would just simply get stressed out and fall over. And in this day today, we're able to actually keep up a little bit more as long as we stay centered. The whole thing about what Mahala is saying is happening to us physically through the solar flares. And so the solar flares are creating a more creative spark within us, but also a transcendence into the dimensional shift so that the physical body can learn how to behave itself better. In other words, we're not carrying all the old past pains and discomforts the way we used to. We're still carrying them, oh yeah, but not the way we used to. Today, it's different because in the dimensional shift that's occurring, we have a much better way of understanding through our physical body how to release it faster. That's why I wrote the book too, you know, because once you understand that this change that's occurring is being given to us on a platter, we're being given a gift, not a destruction.
Right.
And so the body needs to know. The body is aligning. It's our brain that doesn't necessarily understand. And that's why the human race is such it's a harder place to be on Earth because of our humanity and that we haven't quite grown the way that that we could if we were off planet. But at the same time, our bodies are drastically changing, and we're going into what I call, Lance, an ascension in the physical. Mm-hmm. And so what that means is we are now at zero point within our physical bodies. We are literally starting to change in order to get younger, to be more youthful. We're multitasking better, and we're also deciding whether or not we want to stay in relationships. So a lot of the relationships are being torn right now into separate places. People are going individual more now than ever. And sooner or later, what that's going to do is that's going to promote more sustainable communities because people will come from their true self, which is not listening to everybody else, including a partner sometimes. And every now and then you have to realize that your individuality is exactly what you need in order to stay centered. So this is where we're at today, and that's the bottom line of how these changes and the solar flares are affecting us, are helping us in order to achieve a greater dimensional letting go process that we've carried in our brains for too long. Everything's always been listening to everybody else, government this, doing that, and it's like no more. We don't even want to work 9-to-5 anymore. We're learning how to understand, to behave in our passion state from the heart. And that's where we're at.
And then all that, the centering, that happened last night when this beam came into the center of the earth.
Uh-huh.
And what the email that I got said, for the wave this cosmic event would create as it penetrates into the earth's core, will send a wave out from its center in the form of a figure eight. It will then be pushed back in, flipping in a reversal of its path like a butterfly wings. It may create a pole reversal for the planet, but I do not perceive this. I am seeing more of a reversal of in our brains, you know, and then this is like what she's talking about, because the solar flares and the CMEs have been affecting the brain, and I know for me, the brain has been on the agenda for the last week or so because I have felt the pain in my head from it. And then it goes from the brain, and then you'll feel the pain in your body from, according to your astrology chart, you know, whatever is dominant in your chart. But right now, the overall riding is the brain. And so what is happening right now, and which was a turning point, is a blending of the right and the left brain together.
Uh-huh.
So become as one.
Yes.
And so when this
one,
is...
Yeah.
Last night was like, it was as important, I think, as the harmonic convergence was in 1987.
Uh-huh.
Because when the harmonic convergence happened then, that pushed us into the fourth dimension.
Right.
And there was a very definite change, but we didn't become aware of it right away. And the fourth dimension is where all the everything exists, the good,
right,
the bad, and the ugly. And
yes,
that's when the dark force came in very, very strong,
mm-hmm,
because it controlled from the fourth dimension.
That's right.
And so we're just moving out of it. And I believe that the Earth itself went into the fourth dimension at the harmonic convergence shortly after it, you know, and that now I think that, like, last night was the turning point of going, of the Earth itself going into the fifth dimension, because
yeah,
we've been in fifth dimension, fifth, sixth, seventh dimension consciousness, you know,
right,
but the Earth itself has been waiting for us to catch up.
Yeah.
And so now I believe that last night that the Earth switched and went into fifth dimension consciousness, and now we'll be able to manage consciousness, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, the whole shebang.
Exactly, because once we're out of the limitations and the great and the barriers, you know, George Kavoslis calls the fourth dimension the great arena, that there's an organic portal or barrier to getting to the fifth, but the fifth is, you know, from there on it's clean. In
yes,
other words, we're
yeah,
outside of the matrix.
Yeah, and so there might be
yeah,
like a integration period, you know,
yeah,
because
yeah,
the node goes into Scorpio the end of August,
oh,
and
good,
so this will bring up all kinds of stuff. I mean, if you think that stuff has come to the light recently, watch what starts happening now. And
yeah,
once we're in the higher consciousness, the controllers won't be able to touch us anymore because they can't vibrate to the higher energy.
That's right, and the higher.
And I'd like to give an example of that. It's like if you have your, let's say that you know, you basically love life. You consider yourself a light worker, if you will, or you enjoy keeping your house really nice and having nice company, and you got a good heart. Okay, and then somebody comes into your house. Maybe it's a friend that you know, but their energy isn't up to par. I'm going to tell you that that person won't stay in your house very long, because when they come in, they're going to realize it just doesn't feel comfortable. And so because they can't handle the light, they can't handle that energy, and so they'll turn around and walk out of the home. So this is kind of what happens. And you'll find this happening a lot, where you are not going to have the same relationships as you had before. I find that very important right now, because on down to earth, no pun intended, but down to earth, we are learning through what's happening today through these changes, that a lot of the things that we cared about once, we don't care about as much anymore. That's part of the galactic shift in the brain.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I asked Amelia Benz once about this. What does the dark experience as these light energies and frequencies start to raise in vibration? And she said, they feel very hot. It's like a burning energy. It's kind of like the old vampire, you know, mythologies, that it's a burning. It hurts, and so it would seem that as those frequencies ramp up, and as we raise our own frequencies and vibrations, that due to the ripple effect in the zero point, that simply is not going to be a space where those energies will want to be hanging out.
That's right.
That's right. Yeah. And I wanted to express too that like the 24th was just the start of it. Well, actually, it was the 22nd, because when the star Sirius rose before the sun on the 22nd, and that is when the Egyptians always started their calendar.
Oh.
You know, and so it's like when I say rising, it's like, you know, like in astrology, you have a sun sign, you have a rising sign, and so Sirius has been rising over Egypt. And it will continue to do so, you know, for several days. And so this time period that we're in goes all the way from July 24th until, or 22nd, I should say, until August 8th, when the 8-8 Stargate opens.
Wow.
And the 8 is, you know, like it's, I always look at the symbol of 8 as our universe and the parallel universe.
Yeah.
And I think that this energy that just came in is uniting our universe with a parallel universe.
Oh, yes. That makes sense. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. And, of course, there's the possibility of universes emerging as well, that infinity, though the infinity sign of the figure eight, could be conjoining and dancing together so that we're merging with the higher realms and the lower realms, and we're moving out of a black hole universe into a white hole universe. There's a whole school of thought on that one as well.
Yes, and the black hole is right now.
Yeah, and it's right
now. It's right now.
And there was a crop circle portal, crop circle, wasn't there?
Yes, yeah, that came on. Well, you sent it to me this morning, and I thought that's just amazing. You know,
I love that one. Talk about that one, Lance. Talk about that one, honey.
Well, you know, I don't know much about the crop circles, but I do know that they often show up as things that are synchronistic that are going on right now. So it seems timely that it would be showing up that it's a portal crop circle. So just received that myself when I sent it to you just before the show.
Yeah, and then there was one just the day before of the Merkaba, the Star of David.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes.
And it was
happening in England.
Third dimension thing. Oh, yes, and that's part of, too. Like, we should probably get into the Olympics because the ceremony starts on July 27th.
Right, and so, just to mention briefly, Mahala, before you say that, let's talk about the crop circles are actually always, they seem to be showing up in Wiltshire. And so because it's all England area, then I love Mahala to talk about this because I can see where these beautiful crop circles are coming in at the time of the Olympics. And if you really look at the significance of the crop circles, you'll see why they're showing up at this time. And Mahala, go ahead and take it from here.
Yeah. Okay, well, a thought just came to me. There's a little town right there where the crop circles are called Mona.
Oh, wow.
No surprise.
Yeah, but England has always been the sacred site on Earth, the most sacred spot, because there's a huge central sun that holds 27 galaxies in place, plus the Milky Way, and that focuses into Stonehenge. And so that's why it's so powerful, and that's why the dark side took over. You know, they set up the banking system and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so now we're having the Olympics there in this very auspicious time period. Mm-hmm. And so with that energy coming in from the great central sun, it'll focus into Stonehenge, and then from Stonehenge it goes to the pyramids. And from the pyramids it goes all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is kind of like, this is kind of like the final battle between the light and the dark, you know, who has control of that area. And so that's why I said in my last article that I think it's a good idea if that everyone who hears this and everyone who reads my article would focus on love, sending love to the opening ceremony at the Olympics on we'll all be past that on that, but it wouldn't hurt to continue sending the love, to the Olympics the whole time it's there.
Oh, absolutely, and I've been listening to the 3 or 4 hours worth of radio interviews that Red Ice is presenting freely of Rick Clay's research, and I just, there's a lot of information about the various technological devices that have been built to harness the power of Stonehenge, the pyramids, and ley lines, which run through both the Vatican and the Royal Palace, along with the Ferris wheel, obelisks, and domes. These are all technological devices that the elite have designed to harness the energy. And just today I saw that Gerald Celente goes into Rick Clay's research about the elite bloodlines working to establish their reign into the next cycles of time, artificially creating themselves as the New World Order with some kind of event at the Olympics. So they've been working on this for hundreds of years. And Prince William is supposed to be the new king, you know, the king of the Lord of the next dance.
Yes.
And Rick talks about all this and how the ring series that was done by the Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
All of this ties in together. So they're trying to overwrite the natural organic energies right under our noses through the Olympics and co-opt the energy for the next cycle, I think. So that they can harvest the souls into an artificial or false universe, which they've been actively creating here through a virtual reality.
Right, but it's not going to work because love overrides everything.
Oh, you're
and,
right.
And being that we just moved into the Earth, just moved into the fifth dimension.
Yeah.
You know, it's not so, but it's still really important for us, you know, because there's like the integration period in the next 6 months.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so it's very important for us to take our stand in our power, which is love.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely.
Yeah. And it's not in love of yourself. I got to throw that in because it's really important when you love yourself. Of course, that's going to go into the rest of the world. What you do and your actions going to move mountains. So you have to make sure that you understand that you know you need to let go of a lot of the things that you've been carrying that don't matter anymore. And if you're questioning whether or not something's important, you'll know. Anymore
right.
Today, you're going to know that, and it's important because your body is it's functioning like humanity is, but it's also functioning like the cosmos. So the core of the Earth is being affected, but so is the core of your soul.
Yeah, absolutely, and we need to understand that we are sovereign and that our thoughts are moving quicker to create reality. So I think there's a race that's going on to. As certain factors of the elite understand that we, as we regain our power, that they want to make sure that we are living in fear and that we do not acknowledge our power. But when we take our power back and realize that we are more powerful than they are,
yes,
individually and collectively,
yes,
then we're an unstoppable force, either individually or collectively. And I think that this is what we're talking about, that we're moving into our own power, our own intuition, and connecting directly to Source, directly to the planetary being of Gaia, Sophia, whatever you want to call it, nature, the elementals, and so on, we have that ability to connect within directly. And that is what has been kept from us through the religions and the false control systems and paradigms that are collapsing today.
Yep. And that's part of the core, Lance. That's actually part of the core that we're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's also what Mahala means when she's talking about zero point. Because it's not, you know, we have to be understanding, I think, a little bit better of zero point, of what that indicates for us. Because once we understand that, we are more apt to see that we have more freedom.
Yeah, can you elaborate on that a little bit? Because that is kind of the space between things is where reality is.
Oh, I have something on that, Lance.
Oh, good.
Go for it.
Okay, well, you know, like the Mayans talk about the fifth element with is ether?
Yeah.
You know, and so I looked that up on the internet, you know, because that's just so interesting to me. And it says this word means pure, fresh air or clear sky. Imagine in Greek mythology to be the pure essence where the gods lived and which they breathed, analogous to the air breathed by mortals, also personified as a deity. Ether it's described as that which God used in the delineation of the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And philosophy is called the fifth element. And on this principle, the four terrestrial elements were subject to change to move naturally in straight lines, while no change had been observed in the celestial regions, and the heavenly bodies moved in circles. And so this ether is going to cause us to bring in the magnetic flow of energy, which is a feminine, which is the triple circle magnetic energy. And so that's coming in starting right now, too. And I was listening to Richard Hoagland on Coast to Coast. This was last month. And he was talking about how the planets create a torsion field. And so when two planets come in alignment, they create this field. And the field works with the ether, you know, because that's the stuff between, the space between the stuff. And it encompasses the whole universe. And so if you can, by the hyperdimensional mathematics or geometry, you know, you can use this energy to go in time travel, to do all of the technology that we'll have. Mm-hmm. And it's all based on the torsion field energy.
Right.
So if anyone wants to find anything about that, just go into Richard's website, you know, theenterprisemission.com. and you can see all about it. And I thought, well, wow, that's just so interesting. And so the planets, like the planets aligned last night, and Saturn is on 23 degrees Libra. And 23 degrees Libra lines up with Arcturus and also with Spica, because they're both on 23 degrees Libra, but they're apart by, you know, like latitude. And so the stars that technically Saturn, Mars, and Spica and the Moon technically lined up last night. And as we looked at it in the sky last night, it formed like a diamond, which is the diamond heart within your heart.
Wow.
And it's, I find it really interesting, too, that Jose Arguelles is one that came to me in dream time on July 12th and suggested I look up the alignment on July 24th. And the dream spell calendar, he was very connected with Arcturus.
He
wrote the book, The Arcturus Probe. And so the Arcturians are the, and the Syrians have, are the ones that have been helped him with the dream spell calendar and understanding all of the stuff that's going on.
Wow.
Yes. And the other thing about that, too, I love Mahala's way of putting things. I just love it.
Yes.
We also have the oneness that's occurring right now as well. The oneness is coming together as the collective, as you said, Lance. It's really happening. The oneness is all about working together. And this is how we're all going to end up with sustainable communities. We're not going to need any higher, what do you really want to call it, is a higher force of any kind. You don't need that anymore. We don't need it. We don't need it. We don't even need, you know, if I'm going to be bold here, but, you know, sometimes we have to realize that we don't even need the medical profession as much as we thought we did, because we are capable of healing ourselves faster today than we ever have been if we understand the alignment of who we are.
Yes.
And it happens more and more, and we have each other to bounce things off of more now than ever. We're not going to be fooled, you know, by what's out there anymore the way that we used to be, and we know what happens, you know. So we just have to understand that we need to continually work together, and the more we do that as individuals and sovereign beings, the better off our planet is going to be, because we are in alignment with it. The planet's fine. You know, it's the humanity that needs to really get their act together, but we will.
Right.
I have a feeling we will.
And with that unity consciousness, because like Carl Kellerman, you know, he talked about like October 28th being the end of the Mayan calendar the way he interpreted it, and then we're moving into unity consciousness and expected something major to happen at that time. Well, it did happen, but people weren't aware of it, and we did move into unity consciousness, and ever since then, I've seen and more people working together, and they're forming groups, and they're working in unity, and I have been just amazed about it, and I thought, well, it sure did happen. You know, we changed our consciousness. It was a consciousness change, and we did move into unity, and now we're going to move into it even more.
Yes, and like you said, as we move into the fifth world of the heart, the love that we'll experience is a connection one-on-one to the heart, and the heart of the mother, the heart of the father, the core, the crystalline core. So we're connecting and tuning directly to these heartbeats, and we're aligning with these galactic energies. So even one of the people I like to listen to is Nassim Haramein, who connects all of the physics that the quantum physics has come up with to the flower of life.
Yes.
Yeah, isn't that amazing stuff?
Yes. It is. Go ahead.
And so we've had, we know that free energy has been discovered and suppressed. It was there in the times of Egypt. They had flying machines in India, in Atlantis, in Lemuria. They had free energy and they had high technology. And, you know, due to the cycles or whatever, however you want to see it, these things have been co-opted, and they fall and they rise again. So here we are poised on another moment, and some aspects want to take it into technology and transhumanism, which I feel is the wrong direction, but we have already made the choice to transcend that and to use an organic source ourselves and the power of the universe, which has everything we need within it to create free energy, and we just pull it from the ether. As you said, Mahala, the prana or chi is already there.
And we're also in the sign of Leo, which rules the heart. And it's also the fifth sign of the zodiac.
Oh, wonderful.
And it's my understanding that there was a breach in the Leo constellation, like a planet exploded there a long time ago.
Oh.
And that this caused, like, with the love vibration, just kind of, we couldn't access it as easily. And so there were a lot of the Masters of Light that worked for eons of time to heal this tone. You know, and I think that it's the missing tone is E, you know, which is the number 5, or E sharp. And so I think that this is being restored back so we can now be able to access our heart, which responds to Leo, and manifest from that.
Right,
wow.
Right. And I totally agree with her because this is what's happening with the connections that we're all making. That's the oneness. And then, so if people want to, and this would be kind of cool because, you know, tone works faster. Tone, as Barbara Han Clow likes to say, is actually a seventh dimension. You know, with sacred geometry being a sixth dimension. And so if you look at toning actually does more in my ceremonies, everything that I've ever done. Toning is bigger and brighter than anything that you can imagine. It will clear energy fast. It will, it'll change a direction of the wind. Toning will do anything that you want it to do. As long as you are in integrity from your heart, then the toning will make sense for that. So if we all did an E sharp, for example, or, you know, then it would bring that back to the connection that we need.
Oh, interesting. Well, you know, I look forward to the moment when all of this information and beyond is because it's all within us. I know that it's within our DNA. There is no such thing as junk DNA. That's a myth.
But we are energy junkies.
Yeah, right. And when we can tap into all of this and we just intuitively manifest, and because that would take such a long time to learn how to tone and how to do this and how to do that. And doesn't it feel that we're shifting so quickly that there is literally no time anymore?
Oh,
right.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Right. But it sure makes you feel
better. Time is a manifestation of the fourth dimension. That's what it
is.
It's time.
Right.
It makes you feel better to tone. People who don't feel well, or people who have, you know, you don't have to go to a sound therapist to learn it. All you have to do is open your mouth. And really that's all it takes. And you sing a note at random, Lance. This is what sound therapy is. You sing a note at random, and that is usually the note at random that you choose is the tone of your physical body that's relating to you right now. So, because everything has a sound. Even the planets have a sound. And so when you tone, you will actually begin to feel better. It will vibrate through your body. And so just sing a note at random and sit down and do it. It will help you feel better. You know,
well,
I know that you're biofeedbacking to your body.
Yes, yes. Well, everything is a feedback loop. And
everything.
So the universe is our feedback loop. So everything we do in nature. For instance, I've been earthing, which is walking barefoot on the grass and the earth, and that acts to charge and discharge the negative energy and charge your body with positive energy. And then I was sun-gazing. I've been sun-gazing, and Mahala, when you wrote that email about the last night at 7 o'clock, I was out at 7:02 sun-gazing.
Oh, wow.
And I was communing with you guys, and I thought, oh, this is really neat. I get it. This is how we connect telepathically, and it's not the usual way of yakking through words, but it is a silent communication so that when these various things break down, the technology will break down. As much as we like it and we love our computers, they're obsolete. They were obsolete when they came out. We haven't been given the technology that's advanced, quantum computing, so we're going to have to override that, and we're going to have to move into quantum realities through our own human bodies, and this is why our bodies are so important to take care of.
Yes, and this is why
this is why it's such a special age too, because, you know, like people say, oh, I don't want to be on Earth here. It's, you know, it's so yucky here and everything because it's so bit negative. But we're the newest and the best, and so we will be able to take from all of our chakras from the lowest on up to the highest, and I don't know if that's ever happened before.
And beyond, because don't
beyond,
because the
all the way up.
Divide the light, and we're in a hologram. We are the projections in the hologram. So we are in a point where we're going to move back, we're going to follow the light back to the source and reintegrate all of these 12 chakras back into the source energy, which is what we are originally.
Yeah, isn't that exciting?
Yeah,
it's all alignment,
absolutely.
And we're all coming into a better alignment with the oneness, and that's why we're doing that, and that's why it's easier to do it today than it has been, because the manifestations, like you said, Lance, the manifestations are happening so fast. People, all they have to do is think of something, and it happens. Now, here's the other thing. I'm going to throw this out there. The dreams are changing.
Oh, yeah.
Your dreams are becoming more prevalent for what's necessary for you to connect with today.
Oh, yeah.
So people's dream time is changed. Like Mahala had the dream about Jose Arguelles, and I had a dream about John Major Jenkins, believe it or not. And this was a couple nights ago. I had this incredible dream. I woke up with the most amazing knowledge beyond technology. The thing you're talking about right now, Lance, I had a dream about the other night, and it was where he showed us. Well, okay, he showed us kind of like what I was sitting in a room with him, and he was playing with technology. He was like, and I believe, you know who I think it really was John J. Harper. You know,
I was going to say, John J. Harper is in there somewhere.
but he liked John Major Jenkins, so he shows up at John Major Jenkins. And anyway, I was all turned on by this because I was watching what he was doing, and he was showing the technology was just totally like he was pressing buttons. And I was looking at him going, what are you doing, you know? And then he turned around and he took the energy of the technology machine. He took the energy through his finger and he pointed it at a picture. And when he went like that, he went boom. And all of a sudden the picture came alive like Harry Potter. And it started to tell its own story. And I went, oh, my God.
Yeah.
And he started to do that with the walls. And he started to show that everything is not, you know, because we don't understand quantum physics, you know, because if we're not scientists, sometimes we don't get what quantum physics means. But it just means that nothing is solid. You know?
Right.
Mona, could you tell us about the black hole and what John Harper said about the black hole at the time of the end?
Oh, okay. John had mentioned to me about the black hole, and he said the black hole was going to be larger than, it's going to be about, like he says, it's going to keep growing, and the sun is going to be related to the black hole, and basically what it's doing is it's emerging, and it's almost like as the black hole is getting larger, the sun is becoming more advanced in its state of solar flares. So this is the time that has been waiting for all these thousands of years for this to come alive again, but the black hole is incredibly significant for the changes, and the black hole is growing. We just had a picture from spaceweather.com, or it was either NASA or Space Weather, but there was a picture that the black hole looks like an eyeball, but yet it has the black cracks in it, you know, kind of like the little lines in your eyes. It has the same thing, and it's all black, and it just kind of comes out. But in the very center of the picture, it's a blue shining star. It looks like a star, and it's coming out of the nebula of the black hole. It's obvious when you look at it. It's gotten larger. And so that's, but he said that this was all definitely a part of the changes because we have to have the black hole in order for the sun to bounce off of, and I'm not a scientist, so I can't say it the way that he would, but this was an important statement that he made, that the sun is doing its job and the black hole is growing. But like what we've already discussed, what is going to happen to the black hole, it's going to turn into a light hole. But at this point in time, we need it as that. Also, just to mention quickly, the Kumalipo in Hawaii, there's the Kumalipo is the darkness. And so their whole understanding in the Hawaiian traditions of the indigenous has to do with everything starts from black.
Yeah, it comes out of the darkness. The Bible talks about that, too, how we created. Mm-hmm. There's darkness across the world and across, you know, the earth and then creation happened.
Now,
that's right.
Melchizedek and some of the various indigenous tribes, the Kogi and the Mayans and the rest of it, have talked about the possibility of 3 days of darkness. Does that resonate for anybody here?
I don't see that happening anymore. I think we were already. I think Mahala, you and I have already discussed that, and it's almost like it's already like. we've always had, like, I think, what is it, the last 6 or 7 months, Mahala, where it was like the possibilities of that 3 days of darkness could have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And go ahead and tell us about that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm not too sure. Darkness can mean different things, you know, and actually we've had darkness on the earth for a long time,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, and so going through all of our releasing with the dark stuff that's been hidden inside us, you know.
Uh-huh.
And so I think that what I was getting is that the 3 days of darkness might be symbolic of the darkness that we've had to go through in order to reach the light.
Yes. Yeah.
And
yeah.
by releasing all of our dark stuff within us that's been hidden and that has kept us in a trap and so we haven't had our freedom, now after you release all of your stuff, then you become free and you're out of the darkness into the light.
Yes.
Yeah, John Below talks a lot about the 3 days of darkness, too, and, you know, at the times that he sees it coming or what he's heard. But the truth is, what I see is that we've already had the opportunity to have 3 days of darkness, and Richard Hoagland and I had a little conversation one time a little bit about that, and we
yeah.
thought it was going to happen in November.
Yeah. Oh,
of
yeah,
last
yeah.
year, when
yeah.
the moon was going through that phase, where we thought that maybe there was going to be this the ship, if you will, the really big machine, whatever he was calling it, that was actually going in front of the moon at the time, and he thought that it was going to actually hit the moon, and so it
yeah.
didn't. But that's where my mentor, who was Cherokee, told me that that was when that 3 days of darkness was going to happen, was
oh.
when the asteroid that we were going to hear about was going to come in front of the moon, and then we have that 3 days of darkness. So Richard and I talked about that a little bit, and we actually thought it could happen. It was that close, but it didn't.
Huh. Yeah. Well, I had a dream at that time and told me that when the asteroid came by, that it was actually opening up a vortex.
Oh.
And the vortex could have changed everything.
That's right. That's right.
That's right. That's
nothing
right.
is
yeah.
as it seems, is it?
Yeah. Yeah. So,
don't believe all these prophecies.
Right, yeah, no. yeah. And that's why, because, you know, like in 1987, the harmonic convergence happened. I mean,
yeah.
the prophecies have been that we were going to go through all these major earth changes, and they haven't happened. Well, we have had, you know, like big ones like the tsunami in Sumatra and the tsunami in Japan and all kinds of large earthquakes and stuff, but it hasn't been like a total pole shift that would change everything, you know? And so it's been on a gentler, more gentler
yeah,
wave.
Very
yeah.
subtle.
Yeah.
Very subtle.
And maybe
and that's the way it is in the body, too. Very subtle.
Yes, very subtle. Although I have a friend who's tracking these energies very closely, and we talked last night. She said that she felt that the magnetics were going to shift. It wasn't the actual poles of the Earth. It was the magnetics, and that the Earth would gently correct her tilt.
I think that's what happened last night.
It could have been, yes.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
one thing about the darkness is that, for me, it seems pretty clear that what has to happen for all of us to move together, or for whoever is moving together into a higher reality, that the truth has to be transparent, that we have to be told the truth. There can be no agendas that are corporate, political, or royal, or ET, negative ET agendas that are running things from behind the scenes to continue to enslave us. We are enslaved. We have been enslaved.
Yeah.
But we need to see that those are not things that can continue on into our future.
Yeah. The
we need to get over we need to get over our lies and
lies, manipulations, you know, all of that stuff.
Yeah. Well, the node going into Scorpio this in August is going to change everything.
Oh, good.
And all that, because Scorpio is what's been deep down, and so it's going to be brought up into the light, you know?
Wonderful.
Yay.
And, of course, we all have our birthdays in September, so.
Yes.
The three witches.
Where's the eye? Where's the eye? I want the eye.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah.
So what else is
great? Hey, Mahala. Did you? Yeah, I wanted to talk to Mahala a little bit about have her tell everybody about Nibiru.
Oh yes. Please go.
Oh yeah. Nibiru. Okay. Well, I have gotten emails and stuff that say that Nibiru is going to be in our heavens starting on August 17th, or what I call it. I don't actually call it Nibiru because, like, when the astronomers discovered it way back in you know like 80s or something, they called it Nemesis, the Death Star that was coming by.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, they projected at that time that it would be here in 2012. And and then it would appear, you know, like as an orange ball in the sky. Well, so that's on the agenda between August 19th and September 26th, is we're supposed to be able to see it in the sky. So I'm anxiously waiting for it to see if that actually happens. Mm-hmm. And so if it's a possibility. I don't think that it's going to bring the damage that so many people think it's going to bring, you know, because they built all their underground centers and all that, because I think that we're going to be on a higher frequency as it comes by, and that it will kind of go up and above and over us, and I don't think it will do the damage that was prophesied.
I had a dream. I need to jump in here a little bit. I had a dream at the Harmonic Convergence, Mahalo too, and Lance, about this dream that came through years ago was based on two suns, and this was way before I knew about. I mean, I was reading Barbara Marciniak at the time, so I was understanding the Pleiadian messages, but for some reason it triggered a dream, and what it did is it showed me two suns in the sky. And I looked up and I saw these two bright suns, and I turned around and everybody had a translucent body, and we were walking in the land of it was beautiful. I mean, it was like willow trees and lakes and things like that. People were getting along, and there was it was more peaceful. And I saw that in my dream. I never forgot that dream because I thought to myself, two suns?
Uh-huh.
Well, you know,
right. There's been pictures on the internet, you know, of two suns in the sky for a long time.
Well, it's funny you should mention that because, you know, on the larger scale, the Japanese have discovered that the sun is now quadrupolar. Instead of having two poles, it has four poles.
Yes.
And doesn't that bring up the image or the visual of a cell dividing?
Yeah, it does.
So it has four magnetic poles. Is it getting ready to divide? And perhaps one is a higher dimensional frequency sun that's transparent, and the other is the lower frequency sun that will continue on with those who, you know, may be continuing on with a 3-4-D experience.
Right,
you know.
And those that are on the that choose not to go into the higher frequency might experience some drama with the planet Nibiru.
Exactly. So that's a possibility as well. And then we know that in various ascension times, the Nibiru was supposed to be one of the stars of the Sirius system, I think, that didn't make ascension, and that's why it continues to cycle around. And that would relate to, that goes back to the stories of the Anunnaki and the fact that they've manipulated and controlled, and those are lower vibrations. Control is a lower vibration.
Right.
If you have to feed off of somebody else's energy,
it's an ego.
You can't be source. You can't align with source.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those of us that are removing ourselves from the feeding process and from being fed on are connecting directly to source. And one of the ways that I found is by, we talked about this, Mona, in one of the shows, is drinking distilled water to wash the fluoride out of the pineal gland so that it can connect with the subtle senses.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody, a lot of people are doing that now. As a matter of fact, I've been getting some emails still.
Well, I just wanted to throw that out there as a little teaser for people.
Well, I think that's great, Lance. And one of the things I wanted to share, too, is that, you know, everybody knows that, you know, they should by now, you know, my book's been out, my articles go out and stuff. Well, one of the things that I talk about, it was my Cherokee mentor, Karen Land. And Karen was 1,000 times higher than me. She passed in 2005, and that's pretty damn high. And what she had is she said something about ego, and I wrote this in my book. It says, she used to say one little sentence, and it would just trigger me into all these questions. And she said one time, she said, I said, so what the heck is the beast then? Because we were talking about revelations, and everything in Revelation right now is actually coming alive with the plagues and the, you know, the some of these things that are happening, the droughts. This was all in Revelation. But one of the interesting parts that I thought was she said to me was, I said, so who is the beast? She said, that's the ego. Ego is the beast. And she said, and that's the thing that keeps you know, everybody down, is that the ego is only an insecurity.
Yeah.
So we have to realize that those days are gone. That's over. We don't need it. In order to connect to each other, we can't have an ego. We have to be healthy and understand what ego means. It's not necessary anymore.
That's right. It can't be the driver. It was never meant to drive us, to drive the car. It's driving us crazy is what it's doing, and it's destroying the planet and ourselves. So
yeah.
It's being relegated to its proper place, which is in the back seat, and an authentic personality is forming that can interface from our essence within to
right.
another person's essence through the soul and the heart and through the eyes.
Ego is the reason for chaos.
Yeah, it's time to let it go.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And out of chaos comes the new creation.
Yes, it's no longer important to have material things and to have the better, what is it they say, the person who dies with the most toys wins the game?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
mm-hmm.
Now we're seeing that is faulty, implanted thinking that is designed to, again, get us to buy things and control us. And so we're long over that. We were all born in a time in the 50s and 60s and so on when advertising and the media were just rising. And now everything is just blasting at us from every direction. And I think that we're just, some people shut down and they try to escape it by, doing this, that, and the other thing. But this is not a good time to have addictions functioning. It's a good time to release them, let them go.
Mm-hmm. And know that it's easier to let them go. It's easier today to let them go. People don't realize that, but in all my work, yeah, it's a lot easier today to let it go. Don't think it's so hard, because even people with addictions are coming to me for sessions, and they're finding out why they have the addiction. It's that they're bored. They're just bored.
Right.
So find something, some passion from your heart that you want to engage in, whether it's a new class or find something that's going to keep your mind busy, because some people have incredibly high energy, these kids today, but their energies are so high, and so they need to be focused and busy and multi, like I said from the very beginning, we're multitasking better. Well, kids are already coming in with that. So if they're bored, they choose addictions, and these are in our 20s and 30s. These are the people that are in those age groups. So, this is what I'm seeing a lot of, is that addictions are easier to cure now than they ever have been before.
Oh, yes, and as you said, if we follow our bliss and our creative desires and let them out without fear, then we are excited about life. We're excited to get up in the morning, and that gently replaces the neuronal rewiring in the brain.
That's right.
That fuels addictions.
That's right. And our brain is getting a lot of help, isn't it, Mahala?
Oh, it sure is. Definitely.
Well, and also, as both you guys know, you might want to chip in on this one about the brain. There are moments when I feel like everything just drops out of my brain and I'm like a zombie, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I've experienced that also.
The magnetic shifting.
And those are the retrogrades. And if you can tell quickly, the retrogrades are a part of that as well. And we've got, seven coming up, Mahala, at different times?
Yeah, right now I think that there's five. And especially Mercury, because Mercury, for us Virgos, because Mercury is a ruling planet, and so it hits us pretty strong when it goes retrograde. And so I've been experiencing a lot of... The retrograde's been in my brain lately, and so whenever Mercury goes retrograde in my chart, I experience dyslexia. It comes to the foreground, and so this last Mercury retrograde, and it'll be there till I think it's August 13th or something like that, has been very, very powerful, and so I think that because Mercury rules like the arms and legs and the nervous system, Mm-hmm. And so I think that the solar energy has been affecting the nervous system and the brain, and then all that works together, and it's been a little challenging with Mercury retrograde.
Well,
yeah, I think that's why it's so important to stay centered right now. And remember, you were only in the now. We're only in the moment. And so don't go thinking, oh, my God, right now I've got my son getting married on Saturday. I've got a move happening right now. I've been packing up all my boxes in the last couple days. I had to find a home for one of my dogs. It just goes on and on and on. I have four or five people a day to work on. And some of them, they're all over the world. I have to do phone calls as well, things like that. So I have been moving. And I have my son's wedding coming up, and all this stuff. And at the same time, you think to yourself, but I'm in the moment. if you stay centered in the moment, there's nothing,
right.
You're the pillar, then you can't let all
that's
of this
right.
stuff get to you, okay? That's
right.
the most important
point
part.
Within.
Right, mm-hmm. and the fifth dimension is where you can control time instead of time controlling you.
Yes, yes.
I love it.
Yeah, and we can probably good. Actually stop time so we can get more done than we think we can.
Yes, yes, since time doesn't exist, we have all the time we need.
That's right.
That's right. That's right. You stay centered in the moment and everything else. It's like being the pillar. Again, it's you are the pillar, and then you are the choice maker. You're the decision maker, and whatever you choose, if you stay centered, and that's the biggest thing I want to leave people with today is about being centered, because that alone is going to help you to increase your stamina.
Yes. Yeah, and don't get sucked into the drama, and if we keep tuning into the lower and the negative, that's what we're going to be knocked off our center constantly. That's mm-hmm. That's how that works. So
yes, yeah.
And Mahala, I'm sure you agree with that one, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mahala always says, I love her little saying, "All is well in my world."
That's right. Yeah, and when it's well in your world, then it's well on all around you too.
Yes, it's amazing how everything changes when depending on our perspective within. So, we have about a minute or two left. Maybe any closing thoughts from both of you to share before we go, and also you might want to mention your website so people can find you.
Okay, I'll go first.
Okay.
and then I'll let Mahala have the show. I want to say BYOB, be your own boss.
Right.
Okay. And then also my website is www.sacredreconnections, and that's with an S, sacredreconnections.com. And anybody needing sessions, appointments today, I'll fit you in. And you can find all my information on the website.
Great. And Mahala?
And mine is www.mahalas, with an S on it, MAHALAS, astrology.com. And I think that the most important thing is just to stay in the moment and think with your heart.
Mm-hmm. Well, beautifully said, you from all three of us, and I just love you guys, and this was a fabulous show. It's the timing is perfect for what's coming right now. And
yes.
Thank you both for sharing your wonderful experiences with all of us.
Oh, we love you, Lance. Thank you so much for having us on together. This was a dynamic show, and I'm so grateful to you.
Oh, I can't wait
to
get it out. All right. Thanks, you guys.
Okay.
Hang in there.
Love you. Okay, bye-bye, honey.
Bye.